Coming up, it's the World Cafe. This is 91.7 KAXE Grand Rapids, 90.5 KBXE Bagley Bemidji, 89.9 Brainerd, and on your smart speaker. Telling the stories of Northern Minnesota through music, news, conversation, and events. Find playlists, podcasts, and more at KAXE.org.
Bassist extraordinaire Christian McBride's latest album sees the band leader get his big band back together to breathe new life into some classics, including this one from The Police. McBride's old pal Sting, along with Andy Summer, shows up for that cover. It's from the new album Without Further Ado, Volume 1, his fourth with the big band.
You know, we've been together now for over a decade, so it's just like a barbecue when we get together.
Plus, we'll get the scoop on his new project, Ursa Major. Live performance with Ursa Major coming up, featuring Christian McBride and saxophonist Nicole Glover. That's today on World Cafe.
For KAXE News, I'm Larissa Donovan with a special edition of the Up North Report. Suicide is a grim subject across all backgrounds, but its risks are keenly felt in Indigenous communities. The statistics are equally grim. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention says that in 2022, the second leading cause of death for Native youths was suicide, and the overall death rate from suicide for American Indians and Alaska Natives was 91% higher than the total population. While prevalent, Bemidji State Professor Mark Bays says it's a difficult subject to talk about in Indigenous communities.
It's a very, very sensitive topic, and a lot of our people do not want to bring up something such as suicide, because we may believe that as soon as we bring the spirit about of death, then we bring it around our people and our community. So it's taboo to be speaking about death.
Bays is a member of the Tapalang Kawali Tekan Tribe's Waterbird Clan, sharing geography with Texas and of Mohawk and Pawnee descent. He has practiced psychology and related fields for more than 15 years across Indian country and has published numerous articles. He says it was imperative to develop a screening tool that addresses the unique factors for suicide risk of Indigenous people.
It's important that we understand where we came and where we overcame and being resilient, but it's also just as important that we talk about generational healing. That we don't just talk about historical trauma and intergenerational trauma and say, thank y'all for coming and leave.
But developing screening questions that set it apart from westernized assessments was no easy task. After consulting with Indigenous peers in his field, he says he went old school for further research.
I needed to go into ceremony saying, Creator, we need to do something about our lives for those that continue to choose to take their life and how we can honor who they are and provide support and motivation and strategies to keep them alive and honor their spirit while they are alive.
Bay says the elders he consulted with agreed that something needed to be done and helped guide him toward the how.
We need to do it in a way that we do not, one, bring up that spirit. And to me, that's as a psychologist, it's don't re-traumatize. Every time we ask, hey, you want to kill yourself? We're bringing that spirit back up. We have to change the language, this instrument that you want to create, it needs to be culturally responsive.
He says he spent several months developing the screening questions, ensuring they were culturally relevant while consulting with Indigenous practitioners until the elders gave him more advice.
They were saying you need to incorporate allies. And I was a little hesitant because I'm like, this is why we're in a predicament that we are, is because we have a lot of non-Native individuals that may not truly understand our way. So instead of providing that word or that question that should be presented, they may not ask it because I'm not Native and maybe I don't want to offend them. So let me just kind of bypass that. But the elders were saying the majority practitioners across the United States that are administering suicide screening tools are non-Native.
Consulting with non-Native mental health workers with multiple years of experience of working in Indian country helped fine-tune what's called the Indigenous Suicide Assessing Factors of Event Screening Tool, which is about to start its pilot study with tribal agencies neighboring Bemidji.
We want to make sure that it is able to identify risk factors for suicide in addition to being able to recognize and identify protective factors.
After the initial study, Bay says the next step is a larger pilot study including tribes across the United States. Bays, in addition to his research and his role as assistant professor at Bemidji State, also co-directs the Indigenous Studies in the Psychology Program at BSU and serves as president of the Society of Indian Psychologists. If you or a loved one has thoughts of suicide, help is available from the 988 Lifeline. It's a free confidential mental health hotline that connects people with counselors 24/7 on matters beyond suicidal thoughts, such as economic worries, substance use disorder, intimate partner violence, and more. That's it for this special edition of the Up North Report. From the KAXE News Desk, I'm Larissa Donovan, telling the stories of Northern Minnesota through local news.
The Up North Report is made possible by Woodland Bank, serving the area since 1920, with locations in Grand Rapids, Cohasset, Hill City, and Deer River. Woodland Bank believes in building community and serving local nonprofits like KAXE.
From NPR, it's World Cafe. Hey, I'm Kaleo. Christian McBride never seems to be too far away from a good time. The bassist, band leader, and arranger radiates with positivity when talking about his myriad projects. One of his latest being the return of his big band, 17 Strong. And they just released Without Further Ado Volume 1, featuring a slew of guests including Sting and Andy Summers, Samara Joy, and Jose James. First half of our studio session, McBride joins me to talk about why he prefers writing for a huge group of musicians and offers up a truly epic Quincy Jones story. Then a little later on, I'll introduce you to McBride's new quintet, Ursa Major, and treat you to a duo performance with Christian and saxophonist Nicole Glover here in our studio. But first, from the new album Christian McBride, Without Further Ado, Volume 1, here's a cover of The Police's Murder by Numbers with Sting and Andy Summers.
Once that you decided on a killing, first you make a stone of your heart. And if you find that your hands are still willing, then you can turn a murder into art. But there really isn't any need for bloodshed. You just do it with a little more finesse. If you can slip a tablet into someone's coffee, then it'll voice an awful lot of mess. 'Cause there's a murder by numbers, 1, 2, 3. It's as easy to learn as your ABC. Murder by numbers, 1, 2, 3. It's as easy to learn as your ABC. Now if you have a taste for this experience, you're flush with your very first success, and you must try a twosome or a threesome, and you'll find your conscience bothers you much less. Because murder is like anything you take to, it's a habit forming need for more and more. You can bump up every member of your family. Join the ranks of the illustrious in history's great dark hall of fame. For all our greatest killers were industrious,
at least the ones that we all know by name. God, you can reach the top of your profession if you become the leader of men. For murder is the sport of the elected. You don't need to lift a finger of your hand.
Featuring Sting and Andy Summers of The Police, it's the Christian McBride Big Band with a cover of The Police's Murder by Numbers. It's from the 9-time Grammy winner's new album, Without Further Ado, Volume 1. I'm Kaleo, it's World Cafe, and it is a pleasure to welcome back Christian McBride to the show. Christian, it is so nice to meet. Thank you so much for being here.
Hey, man, it's always a pleasure to be here.
Oh, man. Well, I appreciate you coming in. You're out on tour, but you've got an off day. And I would like to point out, you are in your hometown of Philadelphia.
That's so right.
I have to ask, when you have one of those valuable off days in your hometown, where are you going? What's the first thing you want to do in this city?
Go see mom.
Yeah. I didn't know there was a wrong answer, but that's the right answer.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, you know, my mom still lives here. And usually when I'm in town, if I'm not visiting her, I'm here for a gig and... then I tend to go home.
Yeah, that makes sense. Does mom come out to the show at City Winery or whatnot?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah?
She's never missed a show.
Yeah, she's been to more shows than pretty much anyone but you, I imagine. Yeah,
that's right.
All right. Well, I'm so glad you're here. We want to definitely talk about Without Further Ado, Volume 1, Christian McBride, Big Band. And the band is getting bigger. I love the idea of having vocalists and guest musicians join what's already a 17-piece ensemble. But I'm kind of curious, when you were mapping this out in your head, what did you want to do with this record? What direction you wanted to go in?
The thinking behind this new album is pretty pragmatic. Since 2012, I've been artistic advisor for jazz programming at New Jersey Performing Arts Center mm-hmm. in Newark. And my big band serves as the house band. So for our annual gala. And so since 2012, we've invited all of these incredible vocalists to come and sing with the big band at the NJPAC Gala. And but that music has only gotten played once.
Yeah.
So year after year after year, I have to arrange this music for our annual gala, and it only gets played that one time. So I just saw this pile of music getting larger and larger, and I went, why let it go to waste? Let me just record these.
Wow. So, and with Volume 1, that sort of leads to the idea that this is a project you've got a lot of songs that you hope to have a home for, yeah?
That's absolutely correct.
All right. Well, you know, I love the idea of a band leader when you work with a large group of musicians, because you get to make something that's greater than the sum of the parts right. that make up to it. But I imagine it presents some interesting challenges as well when you're working with a group that large. I'm curious, like, what kind of problems do you enjoy tackling when you are writing for that many performers, being a band leader like that?
I seem to have some reverse psychology going on here, because I find, for me personally, it's easier to write for my big band than
really?
It is for a small group. I tend to fall into lots of mental blocks when I'm writing for a small group. And but when I see my big band and I see the Barry saxophone, the alto, the tenor, the possibilities for doubling with flutes and clarinets and the trombone section and the trumpet section with the flugelhorns and the multiple mutes, my brain is like, yes, I can't wait. But just give me one saxophone, and I'm just like, I don't know what to do.
It almost feels like a real estate situation because you've got to account for 16 or 17 people. You've got to give them space in the house.
Yeah.
And someone goes, here's a house for three people. You've got all the time.
Like,
in the world.
Oh, boy. Exactly. Yes.
This is World Cafe. If you're just joining us, Christian McBride is my guest. Without further ado, the Christian McBride Big Band Volume 1 is out now. We are talking about that record. I would imagine for the big band, it is a big deal to get everyone in the room to track these songs.
That has to happen live. I mean, it doesn't have to happen.
No, it should happen live.
It should happen live.
It would be very weird if you heard a recording of a full band and they're like, yeah, everyone recorded separately.
I do know a particular artist who did an entire big band record with like two musicians. I went, man, I get it, but that's just awkward.
That is awkward. What were the vibes like in the room, fourth album back with these cats playing with them?
Well, we've been together now for over a decade, so it's just like a barbecue when we get together.
Is it hard to get the work done sometimes?
No. We all know that we're there to get the job done, and I like to create an atmosphere where you can work hard and still have fun.
What's that atmosphere look like?
So one of my greatest mentors, particularly when it came to producing, was the late, great George Duke. George Duke produced my third CD on Verve. It was called A Family Affair. And I remember when we were in the studio the first couple of days, the then vice president of A&R was in the studio with us, and he made this quip, this sort of remark, like, hey, doesn't look like you guys are getting any work done. Because, we're laughing, having a good time. And then at the end of the day, we had six songs done. And I said, how's this for not getting any work done, pal? That was in 7 hours. He was like, oh, my God, you did this right under my nose, And I think that was telling because, yes, we were laughing and joking around, having a great time, but we got six songs done in one day, I've heard every kind of producer or work with producers who like to create a loose, joyous atmosphere.
Yeah.
And I've worked with some producers who like to create sort of a contentious atmosphere because there is a thought that, believe it or not, musicians play a certain kind of way when they're angry.
Yeah.
Now, that's dangerous. That's true, but it's dangerous.
It seems like you're fishing for, like, conflict can create great art.
Yes.
But with lots of risks that come with that.
and for me, it's not worth the risk.
Yeah.
I've been with a couple of those producers. I just got to get into my zen mode.
Fair enough. I noticed in the liner notes, the record's dedicated to Quincy. Mm-hmm. And, Quincy...
Speaking of creating great atmosphere.
Well, I was going to say, like, how was he as a, it's almost man meets mythos, when it comes to talking about Quincy on Hallowed Ground and stuff like that. But I imagine his sessions were pretty fun and laid back.
I mean, I never got a chance to be in the studio with him, but I worked with him live a couple of times. And, for someone who was, like you said, I mean, he was almost mythical, right? He was a working musician. He was one of the cats at heart. He was one of the guys in the band. And when he became the guy in front of the band, he never let that mentality get away. So he knows how to talk to the band as musicians, as one of them, Ray Brown told me this great story that one time, Ray Brown used to joke that one word that Quincy had a lot of trouble learning was no.
Sure.
And so at one point during the late 60s and early 70s, you know, Quincy was just saying yes to everything. He was producing records. He was making movies, you know, doing the scores for movies. And, you know, at one point, I think he did like 20 films in 1 year, something really absurd like that. And Ray said, he asked Quincy, said, "Hey, man, you're not going to have time to do all of that." He said, "No, I got it. I got it. Don't worry. I got it." So they had one recording, one soundtrack. Ray couldn't remember what movie it was. But, you know, you got an orchestra there, the producers from the film are there. It's got to be, like, tight.
Yeah.
You know, Quincy comes in with no music, no score under his arm. And Ray Brown said he was in the bass section like, oh, boy. Because he was actually managing Quincy at that point. So he was kind of like, oh, no, what's he going to do? So he says Quincy with a full orchestra, you talk about risk.
Yeah.
Russian roulette. Ray says Quincy gets on the stand. He's like, okay, roll the first clip. Says, okay, rhythm section, vamp on B flat, right about here. Okay, violins, give me play two half notes for me. C and D, just go back and forth like that. And he like improvised an entire film score. Now, you've got to be a trained musician to be able to do that.
Yeah, you can't fake that.
You can't fake that. A lot of people think they can. Oh, just play what you feel. Now, well, that's like, you know, you can't go to a foreign country and say, oh, just speak their language. Just feel it. There's a lot of people who have been successful who don't actually study music.
Yeah.
They study emotion. They study reaction, which is not bad, but that's two-thirds of the job.
Yeah, it's yeah.
You know?
Totally. You're just doing a play, not a musical. This is World Cafe. Christian McBride is my guest. The new album is Christian McBride Big Band Without Further Ado, Volume 1. Old folks, I am super curious about where you pulled this track from, because I don't think this was one that your big band was doing.
This one was written specifically for the album. Samara Joy is one of the great, great stories in jazz of recent times. And I feel particularly close to her because I was one of the judges when she won the 2019 Sarah Vaughan International Vocal Competition.
Which is incredibly prestigious.
And at the time, she was 18.
Yeah.
And she sounded just as mature then as she does now. So we know what happened. You know, she's had this wonderful career. And so when I was putting, when I knew I wanted to do a new big band album with all of these vocalists, she was one of the people I went to first.
Yeah.
And I didn't ask her. I said, "Hey, Samara, I need you to be on my new album."
Okay. She just agreed.
She was like, "Cool, yeah." And so I said, "If there's one song you would want to sing with the big band, what would it be?" And she said, "Old Folks" in B flat. I was like, "Boom, I got you."
Well, let's listen to Christian McBride and Samara Joy. Here's Old Folks on World Cafe.
Everyone knows him as Old Folks, like the seasons, he'll come and he'll go, just as free as a bird and as good as his. That's why everybody loves him so. Always leaving his spoon in his coffee, tucks his napkin up under his chin, and that yellow cock pipe, it's a mellow, it's ripe. You needn't be ashamed of him. Every evening after supper, Gettysburg, for Lincoln that day,
to stand about old folks? Did he fight for the blue or the gray? For he's so diplomatic and so democratic, we always let him have his way.
It's from the new album, Without Further Ado, Volume 1, Christian McBride, big band. Song is Old Folks featuring Samara Joy. The new album is available now. Coming up, we've got live performances to get to with Christian McBride's new group, Ursa Major. And we'll talk with Christian and Nicole Glover about the group in just a minute when we get back to World Cafe.
Debuting on October 16th, KEXE brings you a brand new podcast, Season Watch, exploring the seasonal wonders of life in northern Minnesota. Voices like Charlie Mitchell, John Latimer, and our listeners. Find it on most podcast platforms. Season Watch is a podcast for those who are curious about the changes in nature.
Welcome back, it's World Cafe. Let's rejoin our session with Christian McBride. The bassist, arranger, and band leader has a new project he's been nurturing for the last few years, and that is just starting to take shape. The band getting started on their debut album right now. They're called Ursa Major. Christian shines a spotlight on what he calls the next generation of jazz, and he's joined by Ursa Major saxophonist Nicole Glover for a duet performance. Let's jump into that right now, starting with Blues for Mel on World Cafe.
¶¶
Recorded live in studio, it's Christian McBride and Nicole Glover. They are part of the new quintet, Christian McBride and Ursa Major, and they just released their first single and are heading into the studio to work on their debut album. But before they get to the studio, we had to snag them away to have a World Cafe conversation. Christian, Nicole, thanks so much for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Christian McBride Band, you got the big band, You got New John, you got Inside Straight, and you got a whole other thing.
But they're not all active.
They're not all active. For as busy as you are, the idea to start a new project must mean that you really are excited about a project like this. So please tell me a little bit about Ursa Major.
You know, I feel like it's that time where I form a new group of the next generation. Most of my friends, most of my peers either have their own bands or they're teaching or they have something where they're not interested, nor should they be, in being in a touring band.
Okay.
You know, and we talk about how important mentorship was for us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I had the great honor of being in Freddie Hubbard's band.
Yeah.
I had the great honor of playing with McCoy Tyner and Bobby Hutcherson and Bobby Watson and Benny Golson and all these people. So, like, it's time for me to take those experiences and give them to the next generation coming up.
What was your reaction when Christian said join the band?
I mean, I was incredulous. It was not something I ever would have expected would happen, but I was extremely grateful and really excited and to have the opportunity to, you know, share the stage with peers of mine that I think are so brilliant and to be able to have that opportunity, share that opportunity with them to learn from and to play with Christian and to be around him. It's just been a total blessing. It's such a joy.
That's really cool. You feel like you're learning a lot on the job?
Constantly.
What's one of the things that you're finding out being in this new quintet?
Christian is overhyped.
Wow. That's crazy.
She did not prompt that answer. I just want to point that out.
You know, I mean, there's so many things that come to mind, but the first one that comes to mind really is the consistency that Christian embodies in his character, in the way that he brings energy to the music, to the bandstand, to social situations. He inspires a kind of confidence. You know, there's a way in which you can feel very intimidated by him because he is who he is, but he has a warmth to him that makes you feel inspired to be confident and to be yourself around him. So.
Wow, I mean, that's really beautifully said. And I mean, it sounds like the type of collaborator any musician would be thrilled and happy to work with. I always love talking about collaboration with people who've worked with a lot of musicians, and you both have. Christian, you know, what do you think makes for a good collaborator?
Well, you know, sometimes that word, somehow collaboration has gotten used a lot. You know, when I was in Freddie Hubbard's band, I was not a collaborator. I was his bass player. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
I was there to play his music the way he wanted me to play it. Now, I think there are some instances where you have some room for someone to say, hey, what would you play here? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But I think mostly as a bassist, my first job, even in my own band, I'm still the bass player. I'm still going to be playing more supportive parts than lead parts, you know? So even though it's my group, I want to make sure she's got the best rhythm possible behind her, mm-hmm. you know?
I understand what you're saying when it comes to like session musicians, you're right. there to play the bass, right?
Right?
Whereas if someone's inviting a guitarist to play
right.
with them, maybe there's a more collaborative aspect.
I got a great collaboration story for you. I don't think I ever told you a story. So one of the most surprising calls I ever got in my career was from Paul Simon when he was doing the soundtrack for the Wild Thornberries.
Okay.
And so he said, hey, Christian, I want you to come in and play on a track. Great, I'd be honored. You know, so he sent me the track, but there was no bass part on it. And so I said, is there like a bass demo? And he's like, no. Okay, so what do you want me to play? I don't know.
Whatever you want.
Make it up. But I don't know what kind of vibe you're looking for. He's like, I don't know either. Just give me some options. And so we went to the studio that day. And, you know, like, I can't remember the track now, but, you know, it was kind of like a C triad-y kind of thing, you know. And I said, so do you want like C or A minor or D oversee or what kind of vibe? He's like, I don't know.
For someone, that is the perfect collaborator. For someone, right. Oh, no rules, no restrictions. I can do whatever I want.
But, you know, it was kind of like, so I put down one bass track and, you know, this is Paul Simon, for God's sake.
Yeah, you got to do it.
So I said, how was that one? He's like, yeah, that was good. Like, okay, you want another one? Yeah. Like, oh, man, okay. So, yeah, I don't remember. I did like 10 different bass tracks that day.
Why do I feel like I know where this is going?
Well, I never really knew if he liked them or not, you know.
Did he use them?
I don't know.
You never bothered to look?
I mean, I don't know. All I know is I got to be in the studio with Paul Simon for the entire day, putting bass tracks down on this one song.
Absolute genius. Once in a lifetime opportunity.
Yeah.
Maybe not the best way to collaborate.
You know, I mean, but like you said, some might enjoy that. You know, it's like, hey, I don't really know what I'm looking for. Give me something.
Yeah.
And then that'll help me figure out where I want to go.
Yeah. You know,
that's one story of a literal sort of, you know, hey, I don't really know what I'm looking for. Give me something and we'll
kind of
figure
it
out.
It's a little bit of a dance with every person you work with.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. You're listening to World Cafe. We are here with Christian McBride and Nicole Glover, who perform in Ursa Major. They're currently working on their debut album. Nicole, walk me through a song that we're going to hear in duet form, Petrichor. This is one that was with your band Artemis, correct, that you recorded
early? Not my band, but a band that I am a part of. It's a band. The musical director is Renee Rossness, so I kind of think of it as her band. But
fair enough.
I have been in the band for the last 5 years and done a couple recordings, and Petrichor is one that I brought originally for that group. But, you know, I like to bring it into different situations because, you know, just like a lot of my favorite compositions of the past, I like to hear them in different settings. Mm-hmm. I like to hear them on different recordings played by different musicians. I think that's something that I really appreciate about kind of the, documentation of our musical history. So I brought it in and we've been playing it. And Petrichor means the smell of the earth after it rains, after it hasn't rained for a really long time. So if you smell that, you know exactly what that smell is.
Yeah.
There's nothing like it. And so that's the word that means that. And that's what the song is called.
Let's take a listen to it. It's Nicole Glover and Christian McBride, Ursa Major, here in studio with Petrichor. Thank you. Recorded live on World Cafe, it's Nicole Glover and Christian McBride of the band Ursa Major. There will be an album. It's not yet, but soon. They're working on it currently in the studio. Nicole, Christian, thank you both so much for being here.
Thank you.
Please come back and see us again soon.
Anytime. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you, Nicole.
Thank you.
Yeah. I'm Kaleo. We're back in a minute with more World Cafe.
Welcome back to World Cafe. Thanks again to Christian McBride and Nicole Glover. Christian McBride's Big Band Presents Without Further Ado Volume 1 is out now, and Ursa Major just getting started on their debut record. Keeping it in Philly with the great Jill Scott, it's Golden.
Around my neck, I'm taking listening to World Cafe.
Stick it in the fridge, stick it in the fridge, stick it in the fridge, stick it in the fridge. Go girl, work the cold one. Go girl, work the cold one. What? Go girl, work the cold one. Go girl, work the cold one. Yo, we're ambition. Let's keep one thing clear. The bait's over there, the brew's right here. 2 6 packs and a big bag of ice. And you get a bite, but the brew tastes nice. Back to the bar. So every deck of reason a collada. Need a whole lot of them food drinks to catch me up once. I must tell you, I'm the Kool-Aid kid. When you serve my drink, please stick it in the fridge. Cause I like cool beverage, yeah. I like cool beverage, yeah. I like cool beverage, yeah. Uh-huh, I'm kinda thirsty. Yeah, I like cold beverage, yeah, uh-huh.
Wrapping up this edition of The Cafe with a supersized set of Philadelphia music, because our guest, Christian McBride, called Philly home, and we make this program here from the city of brotherly love. G-Love and Special Sauce from his self-titled album, Cold Beverage, Dr. Dog with That Old Black Hole from Be the Void, and Jill Scott at the top with Golden. Before we go, hat tip to our senior producer, Kimberly Janod, for her work on the Christian McBride session. We produce this program from WXPN at the University of Pennsylvania in Philadelphia. I'm Kaleo. Thanks for listening to World Cafe from NPR.
World Cafe is supported by Lilly Endowment, a private foundation supporting NPR.